Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey, Will Stewart, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. Chris, I'll hit you with a quick recruiting question. We talked about some of this stuff earlier in the week, but what is it now? Six commitments in the past 2 weeks, or well, past 3 weeks at this point.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It's kind of been a tear lately. What do you attribute this to mostly?
I think most of the positions these guys are committing at, wide receiver, the latest defensive end, they're positions of need for Virginia Tech. These guys are looking at the depth chart and saying, I can play early at Virginia Tech, potentially play early at these positions. So that obviously helps. And, you know, sometimes it's just part of the recruiting game. You'll go a month or two and not get a commitment, and then you'll get, a lot of commitments in a short amount of time. That's just part of it. You can't really predict it. I don't think anybody predicted that Jimmy Taylor would commit to Virginia Tech. I didn't even know he was visiting. They only offered him like a month ago.
I know nothing about him.
Yeah.
Other than he looks like a full-grown man.
Yeah, he does. And he's got a big offer list. At least I guess he does. Supposedly he has an offer from Florida, but after the Hushon Gaines stuff last year, I don't know if I'll ever trust that again. But it's weird that he's ranked so low in the state of North Carolina with that offer list.
Yeah.
Most guys with that offer list are a top 15 player in their state, maybe even a top 10 player. But it's good to see because, you know, Virginia Tech was in a dire need at defensive end. They had struck out on most of their top targets. But now, since they got him, if they can get Patrick Jones, then, you know, on paper, that's a solid, decent, pretty good defensive end class.
Absolutely. Okay.
So let me ask Chris a question. You know, you talk about the Florida offer in air quotes. And how much is that gumming up the process? Because a lot of these SEC schools hand out these non-committable offers. They're not really offers. And players have always kind of fibbed about the offers they've got anyway. So, you know, what can you believe?
Or they don't understand an offer anyway. Joshua Jackson he tweeted a picture of Virginia Tech's official scholarship offer to him the other day, and it said, your offer is contingent on you having good grades, you continuing your athletic and academic excellence, stuff like that. So if Joshua Jackson went out and threw 10 interceptions and no touchdowns in his first three games this year, then you think Virginia Tech would keep that offer on the table?
No.
Yeah, right, exactly. So all offers to a certain extent are contingent until they sign on the dotted line. That's just the way it is. I think what bothers me is when you're not honest, like when Gaines thought he had an offer,
yeah,
and nobody communicated to him that he did not.
It was dirty.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And you know, some of it's the coach's fault, but some of these guys don't have the people around them that are smart enough or responsible enough to guide them through the recruiting process. I mean, at this point, I followed it enough where if I'm a high school coach, I'm handling my player's recruitment.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way I'm letting him do that on his own unless I knew his parents and I understood that his parents understood the game and everything like that. I'm taking every call for him. I'm in communication with these college coaches and things like that. I'm out there reading their offer lists, who else they've offered. And if I see online that they've offered eight guys and they only tell my guy, oh, we've only offered two other defensive ends, I'm going to be like, no, right now, according to this, they've offered eight. But are they real offers or not? How can you figure out what's true and what's not? It's very hard. There's a lot of gray area in recruiting.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I don't want to spend too much time on that because I do want to bring up a quick basketball note. Ahmed Hill, surgery, major injury, torn left patella tendon on his left leg, out indefinitely, and will not participate in preseason conditioning activities. That's the extent to what we know now. He may be back in time to play this season, but he may very well not. That's
probably.
I would venture to guess they're not going to rush this. I mean, as much as they really need to have him, they're not going to rush him back after a surgery. This is major surgery.
Now, I'm not a doctor.
But nor am I.
But I run a message board where some people who know stuff about doctoring hang out.
Yeah.
and they've said this kind of injury is typically a 6 to 9 month injury, that the blood supply is not what it needs to be for rapid healing. There's not much you can do about it to heal it fast.
There's speculation that he may not be back at all.
I've heard that he'll redshirt this year.
Right.
That's the likely scenario right now.
And even if he does come back, he's going to be incredibly rusty. And
yeah.
It would be maybe in February or something.
That stinks.
Like that.
Yeah, it would not be in his best interest to play this year, in my opinion. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for him. It's unfortunate for Tech. you know, he's a talented guy. He's an athletic guy. He's a good shooter. But above all, he plays harder than anybody else on the team.
Yeah.
He's exactly he is the consummate Buzz Williams player as far as his effort level and his motor and things like that. I mean, when Buzz Williams turns on the film, he can always point to Ahmed Hill and say, look, Justin Robinson, this is how hard you need to be playing. Or look, Chris Clark, you need to be more like this guy. And he's not going to be able to do that this year, because Med won't be out there. So yeah. It's unfortunate, but it does create some spacing in the class, because there are three wings in the same class right now,
mm-hmm.
with Med, Justin Bibbs, and you can't, let's face it, those three guys were not going to finish their careers in the same class.
No.
So now you've got some spacing there.
Yeah.
So that's good, but I hate it, because he was Virginia Tech's hardest playing guy last year, and that's all Virginia Tech has to win basketball games. They've got to out hustle the other team, really.
Outwork people. Absolutely. All right, so back to football for a second. Whit Babcock made some comments the other day about scheduling, and there's all this talk about certain conferences moving away from scheduling FCS teams in the future because of how scheduling must be done to make that college football playoff and so on and so forth. I actually liked Whit's answer a lot to this, where he said, look, Jim Weaver did a great job with scheduling, and it's something we're always going to keep an eye on, and we'll adapt, and so on and so forth. But I particularly like the part about, he would prefer to play Virginia FCS schools if they're going to play FCS schools at all. That's always been my stance on this, too. If you're going to play those schools, play FCS schools in the state. Play the William & Marys. I like that approach. Do you think they transition more toward that approach in the future?
When they can, I think they will. It keeps the money in the state, but also let's not forget that there's good 1AA football in the state.
No doubt.
There's a lot of teams to pick from.
Sure. Yeah, the JMUs, the CAAs, the William Marys. I mean, the CAA is the best FCS conference in the country.
Richmond's won a national championship. Liberty's in the top 25 these days.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't go wrong when you schedule one of those four programs in the state of Virginia. Yeah.
And I just think it makes sense. Like you said, keep the money in the state. It benefits everyone, at least to my understanding. It's not a bad thing.
Any idea how many people, it's not like they're ever going to be traveling to Liberty. Liberty will be coming here.
Right.
I wonder if Liberty will at some point make a run for Division 1A.
FBS. Absolutely. They've been pushing for that for some time now. Yeah. They've been talking to the Sun Belt and Conference USA and anybody else that's even flirting or will flirt with them.
Any idea what the time frame on that is?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I recall talking to some folks that cover Liberty and have covered the Big South and stuff for a while about that. The answer that I get every single time is, we're not sure, but the first legitimate conference that will take them, bye-bye.
The thing is, though, I think everybody missed the gravy train. I mean, everybody was trying to move up to, I mean, even James Madison has talked about it.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern moved up, mm-hmm. a couple other schools. Everybody moved up to take advantage of that BCS
ODU
money.
ODU did it, yep.
Guess what? It's not there anymore.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, those playoff conferences have a monopoly for the most part. So I really think it's a waste of money for those teams to move up. I mean, yeah, you can move up, you can make more money, but guess what? You got to pay for 22 more scholarships also. Probably more travel costs mm-hmm. involved. I'm not doing an in-depth Liberty Athletic Department financial study or for any other program for that matter, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right.
It would have made sense 10 years ago, but it doesn't make as much sense now.
No.
It probably depends upon the institution whether or not they can make it work.
That is also true. And for a school like Liberty, there's no other school out there like Liberty at the FCS level, at least to my knowledge, that's in the situation that they're in. Insofar as you're talking about a school that is private, has its base in Southern Baptist roots, and because of that, there are certain places they fit, certain places they absolutely do not fit. But they have so much money. The debt was wiped away when Jerry Falwell passed away. They have facilities that are unlike most. I mean, like, they have better facilities than most of the FBS schools that I could rattle off the top of my head
now. They have a huge online presence as far as academics goes. That's a money machine.
They're ready made in terms of facilities, and revenue right now, to step into to the Sun Belt, to Conference USA. They could step in and compete right away. And there are some conferences that, to my understanding, to my knowledge, are hesitant to bring them in for that very reason, because Liberty could step in, and assume a top spot in the conference very quickly.
Because they would be bringing in an affluent program in a pretty good state for high school football, pretty mm-hmm. good recruiting area.
Yep. No doubt.
Their stadium would probably be the best in the Sun Belt, just like that.
Probably so.
As far as just off the top of my head,
Their baseball was a $35 million baseball facility.
Their baseball facility is beautiful,
unreal,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable how nice that baseball facility is. You know, basketball facilities are good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program that has been good, you know, fairly recently. So they've got a lot going for them. What they have to overcome in terms of the kind of player they can recruit to that school,
yeah,
is almost counterbalanced by just how well they've built up their athletics program and their facilities. So. One more thing here, and it's not quite Virginia Tech related, but it does tie in. UVA signed a new extension with Nike the other day, and it was 10 years, $35 million, $3.5 million a year, basically, from Nike to UVA. Virginia Tech's current contract, which was signed about a year and a half ago, provides them, what, 1.98? Yeah, 1.9. And so, to me, I thought David Thiel and I talked about it yesterday. Really impressive, first of all, because this is a program that has been able to negotiate that and put itself in a position to get that kind of extension with a terrible football program. You know, and so that in and of itself is really impressive on the back of basketball and baseball success and a lot of non-revs and things like that, but kind of puts it into perspective, doesn't it? I mean, it's a big deal.
I'm going to let Will jump on this one. He had a good post on the subscriber board
yeah.
yesterday.
You know, Jim Weaver, on his way out the door, negotiated Tech's deal and, from what I understand, signed it, and Witt inherited it. And it happened right before Witt got here. And it's not really a good deal, and it runs through the 21-22 academic year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech's going to have this deal for a while. I hope there are provisions in there for renegotiating it, because it's not a competitive deal right now. And that was so unlike Jim. You know, Jim used to do a good job at that kind of stuff. It's not a competitive deal right now, and it's going to get worse as more and more schools renew their deals
mm-hmm.
and are in the $2-5 million range.
Witt had no chance to go to Nike and negotiate his own deal. He had no chance to go to them and say, look, I'm about to fire James Johnson and hire Buzz Williams,
right.
which is going to make us worth more money.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm about to start new marketing initiatives. I'm about to rebuild this athletic department. We are not a $1.98 million a year program, or we're not going to be a year from now.
Yeah.
He didn't have a chance to sit in front of Nike and make his pitch. And that's unfortunate.
It is.
So I hope they can renegotiate that deal sometime between now and the last year.
Well, yeah, we're out of time here, but I mean, you know, you can't tell me that an Under Armour, you know, would not have come to Virginia Tech, for instance, and you know, what, scratching and clawing to get back to get their big piece of that marketplace.
Buzz Williams would be out if it was anybody besides Nike.
Sure, but I'm saying, like, there would have been some bargaining chips there and things
sure.
that they could have used. But you're right. I mean, Buzz is a Nike guy. That's been apparent since the day he came on board.
Yep.
So. Anyway, I find that side of things fascinating. We're out of time, gentlemen. It was awesome as always. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Awesome. Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show here on a Friday. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.